c'est bon, voilà. Bien.
The Senate Agriculture and Veterans Budget Division will come to order. Members, I want to make a statement first before we start in, but I want to remind members and the public out there that this is only an informational hearing on proposed locations for building future veterans' homes. The committee will not take any action on these bills today. Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs has started a strategic planning study on veterans' long-term care needs and a timeline for reporting their findings to the legislature is February 2010. Our committee will want to review the findings of that study before we make any formal bonding recommendations to the Capital Investment Committee about where to build any future veterans' homes in Minnesota. So we'll be hearing all of these today, and then we'll decide after this report what that's going to be. I don't know any of us know that yet. And then we'll move ahead. So I just wanted, there'll be no action taken today other than then we'll listen. And the first one up is Senator Day, Senate File 623.
Day. Mr. Chairman and members, first off, thank you very much for listening to the people from Owatonna. And first off, let me inform you that we're actually after a clinic, a VA clinic, that the federal government will be putting into southern Minnesota, some spot in southern Minnesota. And with that, I will turn it over to the members that I have here. And I told them to be relatively brief because you have a lot of people. And we really appreciate you listening to our story about Owatonna and putting a veterans clinic in our city for southern Minnesota people.
Welcome to the committee and state your name for the record.
All right. Thank you, Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Brad Meyer, President of the Owatonna Chamber of Commerce, and we appreciate your time. I'll start, and then we'll let these guys go. I'll be relatively brief. As Senator Day mentioned, we're basically want to make sure that Owatonna is part of the plans for a VA clinic for southern Minnesota. We feel that the location and the facilities that are available in Owatonna will be excellent fit for a veterans clinic, and we would love to have the endorsement of this committee in that journey and in that effort. As you may or may not know, Owatonna is a diverse business community, over 40 industries. We're heavy in manufacturing, but we also are home of Federated Insurance and several other industries and businesses. And, of course, one of the largest tourism draws in the state of Minnesota with Cabela's in Owatonna. We also have a new healthcare campus being built. It's a one-of-a-kind collaboration between Mayo and Allina, and it's being built on right on Interstate 35 right now, which leaves us with some excellent opportunities that are currently being vacated for the new facility. Beyond that, we are home of the Ganey Conference Center, which is a University of St. Thomas facility and is used as a conference center for businesses around the state and around the region. Vibrant downtown business community and business district with Federated Insurance and Jostens. And, of course, many other amenities with a variety of parks and recreation. We feel like it'll be a great opportunity for a VA clinic, location, amenities, and, of course, being on Interstate 35 and Highway 14, which connects Mankato, Owatonna, Rochester, and all of the communities in between, situates us well for this type of a facility. So for more on our opportunities, I'll let Steve Jessup go.
Thank you for listening to us today. My name is Steve Jessup. I'm the owner and operator of a small business in Owatonna, and I'm going to talk just a couple minutes about some advantages Owatonna brings to this discussion. And you can be sure, as a business owner, I'm not here out of simple boosterism. I really believe that our city is the best location. The Veterans Administration has already made the determination that an additional clinic is needed to serve the men and women of southern Minnesota. Once that decision is made, it becomes basically a real estate decision. And real estate decisions are location decisions by their essence. Consider these things, please, when thinking about serving the veterans of southern Minnesota. Owatonna is located right at the midpoint between the Twin Cities area and the Iowa border on Interstate 35. The city is at the midpoint between Rochester and Mankato on Highway 14, and we're only minutes away from both Highways 30 and 60, major east-west arteries serving southern Minnesota. Travel to and from Owatonna for southern Minnesota veterans would be convenient, quick, and safe. It's an ideal location. A finer point is the location of the actual clinic in the city. Physicians serving the Owatonna area have recently completed a move into a new building adjoining the Alina Hospital, currently under construction. The former clinic building is modern, well-maintained, and accessible. They simply outgrew it. This currently available structure totals 30,000 square feet and includes examination rooms, lab facilities, and office suites. We understand that the VA clinics are seldom this large, but this space could be subdivided to meet their needs. By locating in this building, a veterans clinic could be up and operating literally within weeks. However, if an existing building isn't in the plans for the VA, there are ample building sites near the Alina Mayo campus, and our city planners are ready to help. When it comes to location for this new clinic, Owatonna sets the standard high. We think you'll agree, and we ask you for your endorsement. Thank you.
My name is Terry Warner. I'm a disabled veteran. I have a 90% permanent disability at this time. I am presently under 100% temporary while I recuperate from a knee replacement. I'd like to speak to you from the veteran's point of view. I never used a VA facility after I got out of Fitzsimmons General Hospital in Denver in 1970. With my lifestyle and stuff, I farmed and I trucked over the road. I just didn't have the time to wait to have an appointment, and I couldn't plan that far ahead. So I kind of avoided it that long just because of the wait period. 2005, I started having dizzy spells, and I got this incredible thirst. And after a while, I couldn't make it from one rest stop to another, so I decided I better bite the bullet and go see somebody. And I went to the Minneapolis VA Center. I was diagnosed with diabetes. Type 2, the doctor I was talking to, we tested my blood sugar. It was at a 480. Those of you that are not familiar, 110 is where they want you now. We waited around a while because the 1AC hadn't come back, and that came back at 17.7. I guess I would attribute this just due to the lack of accessibility or the feel to be accessible to the veterans care. At a VA facility. Just some figures compiled from the Steele County Veterans Service Office. We have 3,000 veterans registered in the Steele County area. Of these, approximately 700 are what they call specialty cases. They're veterans that are only treated at VA clinics due to their combat-related injuries or their financial situation. Steele County operates a 9-passenger van. We travel to the Minneapolis VA facility every day of the week. In 2008, there was 1,087 patients that used the van service. If you break this down on a weekly basis, that's about 21 patients per week. The van is not handicap accessible. So anyone with wheelchair disabilities or oxygen, they do not use this van. They have to find their own way there. And the average age of the people using the van is over 70 years old. Your normal ride to the VA and back is 6 to 8 hours. These are their figures. I've ridden the van. I guarantee you it's 8 hours. Your day is just spread out. When you have multiple patients and stuff, blood draw starts at 7:30 in the morning, and appointments can carry out all the way to 3 o'clock, so you're just not going to make it back in that amount of time. The one thing I guess I would like us to look at is America called, and we came, and we served. You promised, and we would like you to at least make this accessible health care to our veterans. Thank you.
I'm Wayne Starman from Owatonna, Minnesota, also. Been in the retail business, been a member of the Owatonna community for 50-plus years. I think Owatonna has a lot of things to offer and reasons that you folks should consider Owatonna as a prime location for this clinic. The accessibility and the other things that the community has to offer are at the top of the list. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, that kind of wraps our presentation up. We just want to, first off, thank you and the committee for listening to what we have to say. Please realize that it's a county of about 40,000, but we're talking about a couple, 200,000-300,000 people that live in the other counties. But I thought the quickest way for us to get this thing rolling was at least to get our county going, and then we're going to try and collaborate with some of the other counties. And we don't know just who all's going to put their oar in the water for a clinic, but we wanted to make sure that we're here and so you would know about it, and anything that you can do to help, we'd appreciate. And with that, we'll surely take any questions and get out of your way, because it looks like you got a big agenda here.
Senator Day, I want to thank you for bringing this forward, because I've thought about this around the state where they go to Sioux Falls, down where I live, which is a long, long ways. And so anything we can do, and I'm not promising anything, but you got my attention when you said Highway 60 in Cabela's, because if I was home, wouldn't have this suit on. I'd have my hunting clothes on that I got in Cabela's.
Mr. Chairman, we want your attention, that's for sure.
Senator Engelbretson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you guys for this information. Mr. Jessup, I was inquiring, I would like to inquire as to the used building you're talking about, the building that's existing. How old is that? And I'm not sure what we're talking about here with all the bills today, whether they're all new projects or not, but I'm interested in that building and how it's designed and whatever.
It is, now it's the former Owatonna Clinic. It was private starting out, and now they're affiliated with Mayo, which attributes a little bit to their growth. The building was probably built in the 60s. It's on three levels, actually. They've maintained it very well over the years. It's open, it's accessible, and it's ready to go.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Senator Kubley.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not sure which one of the witnesses to address this to, Senator Day, but you mentioned the population of your service area. Do you know approximately, how many veterans live in that area?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kublai, no, I don't. But if there's 3,000 in Owatonna, we're talking about a lot of major cities that are over 20,000-25,000 population: Austin, Albert Lea, Rochester, Faribault, Mankato, Waseca. So we're in an area that's highly populated, and that it would only be a 30 to 40 miles. Depending on, and all of them were within 40 miles, but some of them would be within 30, but I don't. And that is something that we surely could get and send it to you so you know.
Senator Kubley, that will come out in his report. When they bring this report to us, that's what they'll go by. They'll have the numbers and where the distance in the circle. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman and members, thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Day.
Thank you.
Senator Olson. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. It's really an honor to be here today in a room full of fellow veterans and others who are interested in the needs of our veterans. And I just have to say that I'm sure, as with this committee, if it were possible to make a veterans home available, to serve the vets in every one of the communities that's going to be here presenting today. I'm sure that that would be our desire. But I'm here today to talk about a project on behalf of Northern Minnesota that would be located in the city of Bemidji. And this is Senate File 469. And it's a proposal for a veterans home that would be intended to serve approximately 12 to 13 counties in the north to northwest area of the state that is presently the most underserved area from a geographic standpoint. It's also an area that's situated in the middle of the three largest Indian reservations in the state. And something that actually I was surprised to learn and hadn't known before, but the tribes on average have about a 33% participation in the military in terms of veterans. And right now, people from my area, the area of Bemidji, have to travel as much as 3 hours to the nearest veterans home, either to Fergus Falls or over on the North Shore. There are some people up in the northwest corner of the state, like Kitson County, where they're having to travel as far as 6 hours to get to a veterans facility. And so for the reasons that I'm going to have explained in more detail here by two Beltrami County commissioners who've taken a lead role in moving this project forward, I think that explains why when we had a kickoff ceremony here for this project a few months ago, we had people including the mayor of East Grand Forks, we had veterans groups from Thief River Falls, and really from all over the northern and northwest portion of the county come to support this proposal. So with that, Mr. Chair and members, I'd like to turn it over to, I think, Mr. Joe Venny, who is the chair of the task force in Crow Wing County, there in Beltrami County, that's heading up this group and is going to be, I think he and Mr. Lukacek, the Beltrami County chair, are going to be walking you through this PowerPoint presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee. I want to introduce myself as Joe Venny, Beltrami County Commissioner. My fellow Commissioner Board Chair Jim Lukacek is with me today. I am Army veteran of the Korean War, Vietnam era. I am a member of Ralph Gracie American Legion Post in Bemidji, number 14. I'm a member of the Disabled American Veterans Chapter, number 7 in Bemidji. What I want to say at the top of the minutes we have today is that we support veterans everywhere and anywhere. I think that is terribly important for us to bring to the committee and to all those in attendance as message here today. We also see ourselves as bringing forward with the cooperation of anybody and everybody that can help us realize the Northern Minnesota Veterans Home, a 21st century model of veterans care, serving veterans out of a regional hub as opposed to having them go to facilities 3, 4, and 5 hours distant away. When veterans return from military service, we need to take care of them. We do have in Bemidji a pre-existing outpatient clinic at this time. We need to take care of veterans within reasonable proximity of their residence. We support caring for veterans everywhere, as I've said. We believe we have a large population complement in the geographic vastness of northern Minnesota of some 32,000 veterans. In the state of Minnesota alone, there are some 430,000 veterans waiting for placement. And I hope that we can spin the PowerPoint very quickly and get to the conceptual schematic design that we have amassed in our work there out of Bemidji. We are going to be building off of the Minnesota Governor's Long-Term Care Advisory Commission report and use that vehicle to give substance to making the Northern Minnesota Veterans Home, we hope, a reality. And are we ready to start the show? With me, I should say, is also Beltrami County's Director of Emergency Services and Dispatch for the Sheriff's Department.
Down here.
She's everywhere.
So you're going to see a real quick clip on the vision, the challenge, and the mission. You've heard Senator Olson say that within the geographic vastness of northern Minnesota are the three major Indian reservations of Leech Lake, Red Lake, and White Earth. So let's go for it, and it'll be self-explanatory. I like to talk, as you obviously see and hear, but we'll get to the essence of what we want to present very shortly. So let's go, please, Burl. And thank you, committee.
The PowerPoint has some the front end information.
I need your name for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Jim Lukacek. I'm Beltrami County Commissioner, currently chair, and part of the task force. Some of the history that we have here is just to show you that we've been doing our homework. We've been looking into it. Bemidji has become a very big regional hub. It feeds the major highways 71, 72 that feed the north central part of the state of Minnesota, and other highways that feed the whole northwest corner. As Senator Olson indicated, we're looking at approximately 30,000 veterans in about a 12 to 13-year area. Our two big points with you folks today is to stress that Bemidji's become a regional hub. It has a regional hospital. We have MRI imaging. We have CET scan. We have PET scan. We have a lot of medical devices that have become available in the very recent, with about a $40 million addition to the hospital. And our goal in this project is to go beyond the walls. What we want to do is to work with you folks and within the federal guidelines to take care of that big population that has to travel from northern Minnesota and northwestern Minnesota. And in addition to the skilled care facility that we would pursue in a 90-bed situation, we also want to try to reach out and get creative as to how we can deal with the folks that live in all those rural communities. They have to travel a ways. We'd like to figure out, working with your organization, how we could serve that group and not just in a skilled care facility. We had a gathering at the National Guard Armory in Bemidji on February 6th, and over 300 people showed up. Bemidji is also in the center of three Native American reservations, the White Earth Reservation, the Red Lake Reservation, and the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. There is a big backing of the Native American population, as well as a number of other veterans organizations showed up from all over northwestern Minnesota and north central Minnesota. We have a number of sites in mind in Bemidji. There are, strategically, they have left some very good pieces of property near major highways, near the present North Country Regional Hospital, and we have employed the services of a pro bono architect, and we have accomplished as much of the pre-design package that we could accomplish prior to the completion of the study that's being done. We have gone through those steps, and we've filled out as much as we possibly could, and we have proposed a floor plan that would incorporate some of the things that I was saying, as far as the 90-bed facility would be in basically three pods of 30 per pod, plus 15 beds split in half to be able to specialize and concentrate on the particular needs of the veterans. In addition to that, the larger portion on the bottom part of the sketch illustrates what we've proposed from a beyond-the-walls standpoint of a clinic, a medical motel where folks could come and get services and get treatment and maybe stay a week or 2 weeks or a month. It also has all the other support services that we've investigated through the pre-application process. Commissioner Vinny, do you have anything to add? I've been kind of going off, and it's not like you to be this quiet.
Well, when we come together as we are today, I think it's important that we all have the opportunity to speak, and perhaps the committee chair and the committee members might be better served with any questions that they have that we might answer.
I would just, before, Mr. Chair, if I may, just add a couple of other details. From the beginning of this project, which has been meeting weekly, I think, back in northern Minnesota for the last about 4 months, either the whole committee, some of the meetings I've attended on Saturdays, or subcommittee meetings, there's already a fundraising effort underway. The partnerships, again, as I said, are regional, but within the community, the hospital administrator of the regional hospital, the university president, as well as the president of the technical college, the three tribes have all sent representatives. And so what we're really looking at is being able to serve the needs not just of the our elder members, our elder veterans who are at that stage of life where they need the type of care that a veterans home would offer, but also younger people coming back, our soldiers coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, who can work in partnerships with the college and the vocational facilities there for the types of retraining they might need, and try to also make this facility available for family members so that hopefully we can be reintegrating them back with that kind of medical care and education retraining back into communities wherever it's possible. So that's the goal. We've had an entirely volunteer effort up to this point. Really, it's amazing to see when people get behind an effort, even without the help of any public dollars so far. As I think Commissioner Lukacek said, we've had a pro bono architect step up. The county's been the lead agent in this project. They're volunteering to make the land available. A lot of local funding, fundraising is going on, and it's very much viewed as a regional project.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, committee, if I may say so, I think it is important to remember that the services that we in northern Minnesota would bring to veterans, as others would bring in other parts of the state, is not so much about today. It is about the time in the future when most of us will not be around. That is the extent and nature of the kinds of injuries and medical treatment that veterans are coming back from the Gulf Wars with, for example. We have impacted their intactness by sending them to serve their country in combat. We need now to take care of them, and that is going to take 10, 20, and 30 years out that this is going to be on. I wish I could tell you differently. The traumatic brain injury, the post-traumatic stress disorder type of thing, starting out with having to wear 80 pounds of body armor before you do anything over there. So these are the kinds of things that we face in our future and taking care of veterans anywhere and everywhere. Thank you.
Senator Coring.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Olson, I kind of answered the question that I had. I was going to ask if there was already, there obviously there's no building. And it sounds like the county is making the land available on an in-kind contribution, I'm guessing. So it would be a brand-new site. And then the building.
Well, a small correction, Mr. Chairman and Senator Coring. The site might be made available either through the county or through the city of Bemidji, because we see, as Commissioner Lukacek and Senator Olson have already said, that the city of Bemidji seems to be the magnetic hub of pre-existing support services.
Mr. Chair and Senator Coring, on the committee that's organized around this effort are both the county took the lead on this initially, the city, the university, the hospital, all have, and the veterans groups in the area all have members on the in this community. And one of the subcommittees is designed to choose the location, but they've identified a number of possible sites, but they're really waiting for this report to come back and make the final recommendation about where the best location would be, whether it would be better to be next to the regional hospital where there's some land available, or, again, kind of based on what the recommendations from the report would be. That's the next – that will determine the next stage.
Senator Engelbretson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Olson, I'm intrigued a little bit about the medical motel. You want to tell me about that? Who's going to fund that? Is that going to be a source of revenue, or is business local business?
it's a play on words, if you will. Let's say, Senator, Mr. Chairman, that when families and loved ones come from the far reaches of northern Minnesota, that they can stay in the medical motel at the facility while they visit their loved ones. I don't see it as a commercial operation that is going to invite tourists and so forth, but rather would be serving the extended family.
Right.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, Dr. Ralph Morris, who lives in our community now, was one of the members of the governor's task force that made recommendations, and this was a lot of the ideas for this project have been because of his participation and some of the recommendations that came from that task force.
And if I may add, that's part of our brainstorming on trying to work with the federal requirements on how we could accomplish the outside the walls concept here and to reach out to those folks and make services available to folks that may be able to live in their own home for another couple of years. So if there's some way we can work that out, that's what we're doing, is we're trying to come up with some of those ideas to serve those folks in the rural areas. You remember, Bemidji is about 3.5 hours yet to the northwest corner of the state of Minnesota. So there's some pretty big expanses of highway to go across to find services for these folks.
Any other questions? Senator Gimsey, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Olson, I see that you don't have any amounts in the appropriations blanks here. Can you tell us, have you done any studies or any research on the numbers for the cost of the facility and how much you would be looking at the state bonding for?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Gimsey, thank you for your question. It's projected that the cost, based on the schematic that you have in this information, is a roughly $30 million. And, as I said, we have a local fundraising committee. The American Indian tribes are interested in this, and they're looking at the possibility of accessing some additional federal funding through their resources. But we have, I guess we would be doing the same thing as the Willmar community or other communities, asking the state to for assistance to the level the state is able, and then we would be expecting to make up the difference at the local level.
Any other questions? Members, if you look at the handout, and when I look and I see there's 76 waiting in Fergus, 77 in Laverne, 15 waiting in Silver Bay, 205, there's no waiting list because in Hastings, because that's a different nurse veterans home. That certainly tells you that we need to have more places.
And Senator Vicker, or Mr. Chair, members, again, if you haven't looked at the map that's in your facility, I think the map really tells the story in terms of the large area of the state that isn't being served at the present time.
Okay, any further questions? If not, thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for this opportunity today and committee members.
Now we'll move into Senator Kubley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Senate File 471 is a bonding proposal for a veterans home in Montevideo, and it serves quite an area there. You know, I had kind of facetiously told the group that gathered in Monty for one of my town meetings that I hoped we could get this project done before I needed it. I don't know. I think there probably most of us feel that way at some time or another. I know most of you know that I was a member of the military during the Vietnam era, but fortunately I did not have to see combat there. The closest thing I came to that was when I signed a contract to teach in the San Antonio Public Schools. But anyway, the group from Montevideo has really done a great job, I think, of researching the needs of the area and putting together a proposal that talks about why a veteran's home is needed in that area. And with me today are several of the members of that group that has been working on this for some time. There were quite a few veterans from the Montevideo area that came along today, Mr. Chair. I wonder if we might ask them to stand for just a minute and be recognized. Thank you. We appreciate you all coming down. It's nice to have a group here with you. But I think, we'll turn it over to our witnesses to describe the need and the project there in Montevideo, Mr. Chair, and I think we'll take them in the order that they appear on the agenda. Mayor Curtis.
Hi, I'm Mayor Jim Curtis from Veterans Friendly Community Montevideo. I thank you very much for taking the time to hear our testimony today. Also on the core group, when we started this project about 2 years ago, our Marv Garvey all-around guy in Montevideo, councilman, commander of the American Legion, and also our the best veteran service officer in the state of Minnesota, Denny Anderson, was with the committee, but only so many of us can speak. Also, Gene Van Vinsberg of Chippewa County. And we just want to let you know that we got an outpatient clinic in Montevideo. We have the land already set up with all the utilities and everything ready to go. We're basically ready to turn shovel. We've had commitments from the communities around us in a 30-mile radius, donating pledges of money, and we can help out that way. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to our city manager, Steve Jones.
Welcome to the committee, and state your name for the record.
My name is Steve Jones. I'm the city manager for the city of Montevideo. And thank you very much for having us here. I do want to say I was very pleased about your opening comments, Senator Vickerman. I think really at this point, this is all about the veterans. And really all we're asking is that this committee and the state do what's best for the veterans. And if that means we need five of them, frankly, I think we need five of them. But I'm glad that your committee is going to wait until the state studies out. We think that's what should be done. And we actually ask you to look at your experts and do what's best for the veterans. But we do want to kind of lay out what we have and why we think we certainly are one option for the state. We think we're a good option. One thing, and I know we talked about the need, but I don't know if you're aware, we have over 400,000 vets right now in the state. We are serving less than 0.25% of those veterans. We have about 960 beds. That is all we're serving. So we're sitting here talking about four or five possible homes, right? But we probably need four or five homes. I know we have to start somewhere. We'd certainly like you to consider us, but the fact is this should be about the veterans. We know it costs a lot of money, but it's going to get worse, not better. We have a lot more veterans coming up. So we do want to just kind of mention that this is a growing need. One thing that is really important for us in Montevideo is we've taken a kind of a holistic approach to this. It's not just about the veterans' home. That's something we think is important. We'd love to see it. But we are a location for a veterans clinic. But as part of our proposal, as you have in front of you, we've tried to look at everything. We've tried to look at housing. We've tried to look at jobs in the community, both for the people who may work at the clinic, at the home, or people who are veterans themselves. We want to support the veterans. If you look here, we have kind of calls ourselves the first veterans-friendly community in the state. We've actually trademarked that. If anybody else is interested, we'll give you the information. You can be a veterans-friendly community, too. But one of the things we've tried to do over the last year is try to be holistic. You know, we want to make sure that they have access to a lot of things. You do have a copy in your packet of a newsletter that we send out monthly that talks about what a veterans-friendly community is. And it also talks about the extra services. So there's within our community about, I think, 40 different businesses or organizations that give special services to veterans. We just want that to continue as well. So, again, we're looking at that. And we're also now just looking at the Yellow Ribbon community thing as well. Again, we mentioned that we have a veterans clinic in our community. Our proposed site is very close to the veterans clinic. And, in fact, it's right next door to the new clinic. The new veterans clinic itself is next door to a $40 million hospital that just opened about a month ago. So we believe we have the services available. We're able to get them there quickly. We'll have our own transportation available to take the veterans to the site. be it the city transportation, be it the veterans transportation. So we do believe we can serve the veterans very, very well there. Again, you have a copy of the map in there. It shows the proximity of our site to the area. You have a copy in here. We are one of the two cities that have a pre-design completed for the project. Wilmer and Montevideo both have pre-designs done. We went out and hired the best people we could on our dime. And we hired SEH, and they hired some architects, Oliver Architects and Tremaine and Associates. Tremaine and Associates have done some of the latest veterans' homes in the U.S., a couple in Iowa. And we've tried to make sure this is a very, very friendly project. So as you look at this, I won't go into detail about it, but it is a pod design. I think that's the new way to do it. The nice thing about the pod designs, they could be used for a lot of different things. So if you have one pod where you need to have something like an Alzheimer's unit, you could do that if you needed to. Or you could have something that's bariatric. The other thing it includes is also places for the spouses to be there. The spouses could be in this unit as well as the veterans themselves. The design is also very open. You know, it doesn't look like the way they used to look where you walk down a hallway and you open doors. It's more like a big open design. You walk in, there may be a cafeteria in the corner and be a library in a corner. And then they have their own separate little units where people get to live. And within those units, they have their own kitchens, they have their own laundry. So people kind of have their own community that they get to live in. So you can have like people in like communities. The nice thing about our design as well is all the services are underground. So when you walk in, you're not going to see the kitchens. You're not going to see any of that stuff. You're just going to see basically a home for people with their services and their libraries. Ours also includes a design for an exercise center, including a small workout pool. And one of the things that we think is really key to a veteran's home is it doesn't need to be a closed facility anymore. It needs to be an open facility. And part of this is the veterans in the area can also come in and use those services. So the idea is for people to be able to react. It's a home for people to live. The veterans and others could come in and out. They could use the exercise. They could use some of the other services as well in the home. Our site is 13 acres. We actually have an option for another 13 if we need it, but 13 should be plenty. Site. It is right across the street from a brand new housing development, which is next door to our middle school and high school, and also our National Guard Armory. It's about a block away. Our football stadium and ball fields are within a walking distance. We have a bike path that goes through. So the whole idea is for this to be part of the community now. They're not stuck away in some area. We want them to be part of the community. We want the guards to be active in the home. We want the students to be active in the home. So we want to have this interaction. So that's why we cited it at the spot that we did do. One other thing that we've done on this is we've tried to incorporate as much green design as we can. The design includes both active and passive solar, so we have both. It has geothermal heating and cooling, and it also includes a wind turbine. We're a windy area. We're in an area where that will work, so we've included a wind turbine in that. So I think I'll pass this on to Nick now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Nick Hagenmiller. I'm the Community Development Director for the City of Montevideo. Bottom line, this is for the veterans. I think everyone here recognizes that need. With that said, we're trying to make this as holistic and complete as possible. So included in your packet in front of you, we have done such things as an economic impact analysis. That can be found on Section 5, page 1, if you want to kind of thumb through that as I speak. Basically, if this facility were to be constructed, we looked at what our local economy would be, and essentially that's about a 45-mile radius around Montevideo, with the epicenter being Montevideo where the home would be located. With that said, you're looking at over 200 jobs created with the construction of this facility and $11.7 million on an annual basis for the economic impact, which is huge for Southwest Minnesota. Now, you have to realize not only is that for our region, but that would be the same if that would be built in Wilmer or any other community. But with that said, we hired the U of M to do this study to answer a litany of questions that we had, what this would do to other facilities in the area and so forth, because that is a concern. And with that, we found it does impact other facilities. So with that, we've kind of counteracted this with a higher education element. So we have agreements from both Minnesota West as well as Ridgewater to provide clinical sites that are not currently being offered in our area. Additionally, along with that would be some courses being offered that are not offered in Montevideo for CNA training, LPN, and so forth. We want to look at a higher education, basically funnel all these workers into our region where they need to be. Right now, a common concern that we hear is you need to go off to a larger school, and typically after that, they just stay there. We kind of want to give them every excuse to stay close to home as possible. With that said, we're also looking at a regional housing element to this as well. So we have an agreement from Southwest Minnesota Housing Partnership, which is actually a financial commitment as well. They've agreed to look at our regional housing stock because this is a regional assessment and a regional need. So they would actually assess our housing. Out of that, they would formulate a plan of action, and out of that, we'd see some new construction and a lot of rehab. You know, we get asked, would this lead to more new houses? Not necessarily. In fact, I think if we were sitting in front of you 2 or 3 years ago, we'd be talking about new construction. Obviously, that's not the case. What you see in front of you with that agreement from Southwest Minnesota Housing Partnership is actually focusing more on rehab, creating more of a life cycle so that these veterans that are possibly going into these homes can actually be replaced with new workers that are working at the home. It's a really neat full cycle that we're working on. Another thing that we're looking at is the actual workforce analysis. Section 7, on the third page, you can see kind of an analysis of what we got from DEED, the Department of Employment and Economic Development. Currently, there's about 2,000 people working in our area in healthcare-related fields. And of those, there's about 150 that are looking for jobs. So we're looking to kind of fill some of those gaps as well. And most impressively, there's 250 people willing to work in our area. So if you're asking, can we staff this thing? Absolutely. And finally, as far as support goes for this project, we've tried our hardest to make this a regional element. It's not just Montevideo. It's not just Chippewa County. It's easily 45 minutes, 45 miles around us. You can see on a map, I believe that map is found on Section 8, the third page. Kind of shows the counties that we've hit up. Those are counties that have supported not only financially, but written support that they say the facility should be in our area. They're all for this project. With that said, we realize it's an expensive project, so we've also sought financial pledges from these folks as well. To date, we have just over $1 million in firm pledges. We will pledge $2 million if this facility were to go forward. Basically, we are planning our fundraising in two elements. Basically, one would be government and local nonprofits as such, and we made that. We actually started fundraising in the middle of November, and we made that by the end of December. We got $1 million in about a month, which is pretty impressive. So you can see that the demand for this in our area is very significant. The next million is going to come from an even wider range of folks, some businesses and so forth in our area. With that, I think that's the end of my spiel. But again, it is for the veterans, but I think it's proper to address the economic impacts, the jobs, and the housing along with that.
Again, I just want to close again and tell you thank you. Again, we think it's real important that you give everybody a look. And I'm glad that you're going to wait till the study's out. We think that's real important. These should be cited correctly. They need to be cited where it's going to help the veterans the most. And again, we certainly, in our area, we believe we have a good design. We're willing to pledge $2 million up front. We have $1 million of that already pledged, besides another $300,000 that we've already put into land, design study, infrastructure. So we think we can give the state strong support. I know there's a question earlier about how much the cost is going to be. Again, we agree the cost of this facility should be around $30 million. The federal government would pay two-thirds of that. And then the state and the local share would be basically $10 million. We will say up front, we will front $2 million of that. And if necessary, we'll work harder than that. But we will certainly up front pledge $2
million.
There are some other people here, but they came primarily to be a resource to answer questions if there were questions that couldn't be answered by the others.
Any question from the committee? No, thank you, Senator Kubling. Thank you, members, for...
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Appreciate
thank you.
It.
Thank you.
this. This is the $293,000 for art.
Next will be Senator Coring, Senate File 243.
The arts money, then.
No, somebody will pass on this. You want those passed on?
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we got a binder that if somebody could come and pass that out to the committee,
that would
be appreciated. Mr. Chairman?
I think I was elected.
Coring.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. We really appreciate you hearing Senate File 243 today. Do have a lot of folks that took time to come down here from Brainerd and the surrounding areas, and I just want to acknowledge them and thank them for coming down here. Really appreciate it. Mr. Chairman of the committee, I also have Mayor James Wallin, who is here, would like to speak on this bill. Mayor Wallin is a veteran of, I believe, 30-plus years. 35-plus years. I also want to acknowledge Senator Samuelson for his efforts in moving this forward. Senator Samuelson, as a lot of you know, has done a lot for the Brainerd area and the Brainerd Regional Treatment Center. And this project, the building is already there. And the great thing is the state of Minnesota already owns it. So this project is not going to be a real expensive project. So I'm going to turn it over to Mayor Wallin to hear his statements, and then we'll just go down the list, Mr. Chairman, if that's okay with you.
Sure. Welcome to the committee and state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm James Wallin, the mayor of Brainerd, and it's an honor and a privilege to be here today in support of this bill. One of the things that Crow Wing County does have is the third largest amount of veterans that live in Crow Wing County, and as we look toward the future, we see the need even becoming greater for this facility to take place. And I'm going to keep it short. I just appreciate any consideration that this committee would do, and I'll let the rest of the committee do their presentation. So thank you again for allowing me to be here, sir.
Senator Coring.
I can you bet.
Welcome to the committee and state your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. My name is Dan Davidson. I'm the Veterans Resource Advisor for Central Lakes College, and my thanks to you and the members of this committee for allowing us to gather today. Can you all hear me okay? As a Veterans Resource and Community Education Partner, we're exploring ways to work, bring together like-minded veterans organizations and community leaders to secure funding and planning money to refurbish part of the Brainerd State Hospital buildings and to serve as the proposed veterans home site. With potentially the second highest veterans population in the state based on the number of veterans who live in this area and surrounding counties, to include Cass, Crow Wing, Mille Lacs, Morrison, Todd, and Wadena. Two other key factors that lend support to this proposed site include our close proximity to Camp Ripley and the presence of a VA community-based outreach clinic in our area. Central Lakes College is the first two-year college in the state to establish a campus-based Veterans Resource Center. Today, approximately 140 Afghanistan, Iraq veterans and current service members are enrolled. Because of our unique military outreach to service members and their families, we stand ready to serve the many World War II, Korea, Vietnam era, and current veterans who might utilize the veterans' home and health-related services available. We seek a strong community leader and advocate for worthy projects that support the desired goal of going beyond the yellow ribbon and bringing the veterans' service members and their families all the way home. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program is named as a reminder that the support of all soldiers cannot end when they return from their deployment and the yellow ribbons are untied. Finally, the college would serve as a greater veteran community with a steady stream of highly trained certified nursing assistants, LPNs, RNs, that could find work in such a helpful place in a veteran's home. We hope you'll give favorable consideration to this proposal. Thank you.
Welcome to the committee and state your name for the record.
Senator Samuelson is going to go next, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Samuelson, okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Former Senator, how are you doing?
Good. Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Don Samuelson, former good friend. And I want to thank you very much for the opportunity for all of us to be here and strong support of our veterans. You know, if a lot of you are political junkies like me. Click on the television, the first thing you do is go to some legislative hearing or congressional hearing someplace. And I certainly do that. And I don't think there's a single United States senator or congressman was missed saying how much help the veterans need, health care help. They just, every day, they'll say something. And yet, very little is done. So I think we now have an opportunity, at least in Minnesota, to really move forward with some of these programs. And I want to congratulate all the communities for great jobs in putting together their proposals. You know, veterans are the real issue. And we certainly, all of us know the need for better health care for our veterans all over the state. I did want to say something that's, Brainerd and Bemidji are very unique. We have a lot of this very same things, except that Brainerd does have the real Paul Bunyan. You should. But much like Bemidji, we have a reservation in our area as well, the Mille Lacs Reservation, and they've been extremely helpful to the veterans and other people in our community. We have a regional hospital that's, for rural Minnesota, it's probably second to none. We not only have all the services of a regional hospital, we have an oncology cancer clinic located there. So only one, I think, north of St. Cloud, far as I know. We're under construction for a major heart hospital that's going to be developed this summer. And so there's just so much to offer, including our community college. As you'll see in our PowerPoint presentation, the facilities are already there. We're not adverse to building new facilities if that's what turns out to be the best thing to do, but we also have the grounds then in that case. But the facilities are there. And it would just seem, if you ever had the opportunity to drive out there and look at what's there, it's a real shame, and that's a word I use very lightly compared to what I really think, of seeing those buildings just go totally to waste. They're state buildings, and the state at this point, I hope we can encourage them to hold off, is planning on demolishing 9 of the 13 buildings that are there. I think that's a tragedy. These buildings are extremely well built. They're well kept up. As a matter of fact, legislature, was it a year or 2 years ago, provided $180,000 for a study of that grounds, that institution. When they were all done with the study, it was proclaimed that the best use was for a healthcare facility, regardless of all the other things that they talked about. So I hope that during the interim, some of you will have a chance to go up and look at what's already there. We could actually open at least a 60-bed nursing home for the veterans as fast as we could put the beds in there, scrub the floors, and hire people. We could do that in a matter of weeks, if that's what, up to 60 beds. So there's just a tremendous amount of potential. We have... one of the buildings has a education center with a gymnasium and a bowling alley, of all things. The nursing home area that was used for a nursing home at one time has all the facilities for therapy, including some equipment that's already there. It's in place. And so I think those of you who may be on the bonding committee or those of you who may have an opportunity to just come up and take a look would have to be impressed with what we have there. So... with that, Carol Rose, a former state employee, put together this power presentation. We had no money. We operated strictly on our own with volunteers. And we put this PowerPoint presentation together that I think explains very well, along with our handout, of what we have there and what the potential will be. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the committee and state your name for the record.
My name is Carol Rose, and I always say just like the flower. It's very easy. And I do thank all of you for inviting us today. Why are we doing this project? Because it's the right thing to do. I have a lot of people who ask me why I'm involved with it. I have two things that I usually like to say. I have a nephew who will have 20 years in the Marines next fall. He has been to Iraq a couple times, and he wants some help. He's from Duluth and would like to come back there. We've had people working on this type of project on and off for the last few years. One of those people is John Mayling, who has since passed away, but we like to remember him. Steve Rosenau, who was the veterans person for Crow Wing County for a number of years, works with our committee but couldn't be here today. Russ Billstrom couldn't be here today. Russ has been on the Governor's Council for Disabilities and Traumatic Brain Injury, and that kind of all fits into our project. Again, we did this with no money, so it's kind of unprofessional, but I am taking a photography class next weekend and the weekend after, so I'll do a better job the next time, but they're not too bad. Our first picture is the building that faces Highway 18. It's the Peterson Building. When we first started talking about this project, we talked about using that building as the nursing home. But thinking more about it, let's stay on one floor. That makes things a lot easier. This building has a few people working in it at this time. The Veterans Clinic in Brainerd is going to be moving to a different spot. But this would be a good domiciliary facility. It's been used in that capacity in the past. And I don't usually use notes, so I have to keep myself on track here. If you look at the map in there, it shows where facilities are. We do have the third highest population of veterans in the state at this time. St. Louis County is number two, and St. Louis County would be in our service area. Again, just looking at our pictures, and I'm not going to go through every picture in there, we have some of these areas. They're already there. We don't have to do any building. We may have to do a little bit of remodeling. We have some estimates on those. We have some estimates of some costs for some remodeling or some updating of like the fire system and that kind of thing. Building two has the electricity and the heat and the water systems. It also has what we used before as our kitchen. It also has a laundry that all of the stuff is still there but isn't being used. Building four is the building that has the gym in it. It has classrooms. It was used as a school last year. One of the programs from Brainerd Area Schools was in that building. It does have a bowling alley in the basement. Used those facilities a lot when I was working with clients. The picture that we have of it's actually what is Building 10, but the buildings that we're looking at for nursing home are 8, 10, and 17, and they're all basically the same. We don't have those pictures showing that, but they already have three wings. They have an area in the center for the ability to watch all of the wings at one time if you need to do that. And a lot of areas to do activity-type things, because that's one of the biggest things that I hear is, what are we going to do in our spare time? And I have hobbies. And I do those kinds of things. So, and, of course, that's important to me because I did that in the past. We have had a lot of support from our community. We have people on our committee that are there just because they're interested in what we're doing, and they want to make sure that the veterans get what they need, because, again, they served us. It's our turn to serve them. And I would just like our veterans that came with us today to stand, please. We have some young. We have some older. And they're all working together really well, trying to get what we need. As Dan said, we have commitments from the college. We talked about we'd like to have some classes for veterans while they're out there. The college is willing to have teachers come over there and do the classes right on the campus. One of our other things that we've been looking at, because my nephew has asked for this part to help, and his name is Mark, and he's from Duluth, and this is for him. We have a traumatic brain injury program on our campus, and that's a wonderful program. They are getting referrals from Minneapolis at this time to put veterans in their program. One of the psychiatrists has said veterans need to have their own program because it's not the same. Other people don't understand what the things that they've gone through. So we would like to see one of these buildings on this campus used for traumatic brain injury, mental health, chemical dependency, physical disabilities. You know, we don't know which one comes first. But they need to have the opportunity to be treated their whole self. And the biggest part of the treatment, and this is what my nephew always tells me and the veterans that I've talked with, is being able to talk to each other. That helps more than anything. And, you know, Steve Rosenau is, this is a big passion of his too, and he's a Vietnam vet, and he says, I still talk to people who have never been able to talk about their experience because, you know, I don't get it. I've never been there. But I want to give them the opportunity to be able to be well and feel good about themselves. So we have, I think, copies in there of some of our resolutions, places that are supporting us. Again, St. Joseph Hospital in Brainerd is very much behind this project, as well as a lot of other. Are there any questions?
Any questions of the committee?
Huh?
He asked if there was any questions.
Senator Coring, you have anybody else?
Mr. Chairman. Anybody else? No, Mr. Chairman, nobody else to testify, but I just want to say thanks to Carol and the mayor and Senator Samuelson and everybody for coming down. Appreciate it. Senator Langseth, the chair of the bonding committee, is here, and I'm hoping that the bonding committee, which I serve on, will be able to come and see this site. And I think if you see it for yourself, you're going to say, yeah, why aren't we utilizing this facility? So,
Mr. Chair, I've been on the campus, and it obviously has the best buildings of any state university, state hospital campuses in the state. And so it would seem that we certainly should make use of them with something. But that's true. We've got five different proposals, and obviously it's best if we kind of look at all of them and see where to go.
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you very much. You're very kind to sit patiently and listen to all these proposals. They're all very good. They're all very important. And we have a very difficult decision to make at some point in time. And this year, you really have a tough decision to make. But getting the budget in order, I hope you're done by July or so.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now we have...
Who's next?
Senator Gimsey.
Maybe two Paul Bunyans, but there's only one big Ole.
Yeah. Well, and
Carol, is that now?
Well,
yeah.
They're long.
Big Ole.
And we're still really friends.
Just to sail their ship down the Red River over there past his house.
Oh.
I'm not on the Red River.
Oh.
I bet you're closer now, though, aren't you?
My water. I think it's gradually sliding.
Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, appreciate the opportunity to introduce and talk about Senate File 211, which is a bonding appropriation for a veterans nursing facility in the Kandy, Ojai, Wilmer area. Along with me here, well, first let me say that Kandy, Ojai County.
Got to get Brainerd out of here first.
First, I'd like to say, Mr. Chairman and members, Kandy, Ojai County and the Wilmer area are uniquely situated along three major state highways, Highway 71, which runs north and south through the county and the city, Highway 23, which runs from the northeast to the southwest, and then also Highway 12, which is a direct line from Minneapolis-St. Paul through Kandy, Ojai County and the Wilmer area. Also in Kandy, Ojai County and in the Wilmer area, we are a medical regional center with Rice Memorial Hospital and two clinics, and I'm sure some of our testifiers will talk a little bit more about that. But I think one more important thing that should be brought up, and in case they would miss it, would be that we have the Ridgewater College out there with an exceptional, I emphasize exceptional, nursing program for the training of nurses and the continuing education aspect of the nursing profession. So with that, I'll let my testifiers testify in the order that they are starting on the agenda, starting with Steve Rehnquist.
Welcome to the committee, and state your name for the record.
Thank you, Senator Gimsey, and thank you, Senator Vickerman, and members of the committee. My name is Steve Rehnquist. Live in Wilmer, and the county and city have joined their economic development departments together, and I work for them. Thank you for listening to the people of Minnesota and to all the veterans today. We have a short presentation. Our instructions were to keep the presentation to 3 to 5 minutes apiece, and I shall endeavor to do that. Wilmer's been coming here for over 4 years now, pushing the same proposal. So many of you, if you look back in your files, will have the same presentation 3 times. I will be happy to get you more copies of it. Our presentation is a confluence of opportunity and need. When I say that, we have over, people say different numbers, but it's over 400,000 veterans in the state. We know the veterans population, and I among them, is rapidly aging. We know that their need for veterans facilities is becoming more and more increasing. With the number of facilities that we have right now, we nowhere near match the need for facilities. We also know the state of Minnesota Nursing Homes Association is watching their beds jealously. We have to come up with a proposal that will not only fit the needs and the aspirations of the veterans community, but also can be workable within the configuration of the state of Minnesota. So that presents itself with opportunity. We have a recently closed Wilmer Regional Treatment Center with upwards of 500 state of Minnesota trained mental health delivery workers. We know that as people of all natures age, their need for mental health services, whether it be dementia, whether it be Alzheimer's, whether it be depression, whether it be many other forms of mental health disabilities, we know that increases. We also know in the veterans population the percentage is even greater than it is in the general health population. So what we've endeavored to do with the Minnesota Veterans Geriatric MI Nursing Home, we've come up with a facility that is fundable by the federal government VA system, both in construction and in operational cost, but yet offers a mental health treatment component to it that allows its workers to be uniquely capable of addressing, diagnosing, and facilitating mental health treatment to our veterans. We think that when you take a look at the population that we have, and to answer a question that could come up, we have 32,456 veterans within 50 miles of Wilmer. multiple counties within 50 miles. We have, and we're at the epicenter of the unmet needs of the veterans population. Not only now, but you project out 20 years from now, we are at the epicenter of those needs. We address the needs with this proposal, with the opportunity that exists within the Minnesota veterans population, and with the ability to supply the mental health capable staffers of satisfying more than one need. We feel that due to the our advantage in producing trained health care workers, we have five different mental health facilities in Wilmer at this time. We have a host of psychiatrists, and you know how hard it is to get that. We have a new 16-bed state-owned or state-managed psychiatric facility that could be incorporated into such a facility since we have land available immediately adjacent to this facility. We have a healthcare-trained workforce. We have a former state employee mental health-trained workforce, and we have a trained as a regional medical center. With a hospital that's recently done a $50 million expansion, we have a trained professional staff. Wilmer per capita has the greatest number of mental health delivery group homes in the state of Minnesota. That gives you an idea. There's been some talk about traumatic brain injuries. And, you know, wherever you go, there seems to be a variety of opinions about that. And some of the people here today have brought up a mention of it and the need for it. And we know that there's a facility down in Minneapolis. But just as there's a veterans hospital in Minneapolis, a veterans hospital in Sioux Falls, and a facility in St. Cloud, we have not met the needs of the medical needs for our veterans population. I can tell you in the emerging arena of traumatic brain injuries, when there seems to be no one with an answer to the need at this particular time, we have the person that wrote the report to the Veterans Administration just a year ago, based his clinic out of Wilmer, Minnesota. We think that this is an emerging need, and who knows what the situation will be. Who knows if 5 years from now somebody will come up with a pill that cures traumatic brain injuries, Alzheimer's, dementia, and post-traumatic stress syndrome. We're proposing a facility on the wheel and spoke concept that works so well in Fergus Falls, that with five different pods or six different pods, the Veterans Administration, by their determination, could determine what the configuration of the population of that veterans home would be. If at this time you need 70% of the facility for mental health delivery, for veterans that qualify under federal guidelines for income reimbursement for under the geriatric domiciliary category, they can set it up that way. If 10 years from now it needs to be 90% just domiciliary, it'll easily change to that facility. We think that there's hospitals, treatment programs that we have, and this is out of the National Institute of Health, untreated mental health needs can increase the risk of chronic unemployment, substance abuse, and suicide. Disruption of workplace performance, deterioration of personal and professional relationships, and marriage difficulties. I can tell you very much, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, that people in need of mental health services are somewhere in the state of Minnesota system right now. Most of them are under an MA situation, and they're in the state of Minnesota system right now. So when you talk about funding this facility, the operational costs, you already are. And I can tell you that we'll get a higher percentage of a reimbursement from the federal government under such a facility. Let me catch up with myself. Other facilities that we have locally is the University of Minnesota has recently opened a regional dental clinic. One of our other members will talk more about this. It's one of the few in the state. The Gillette Hospital System has opened their first facility outstate Minnesota in Wilmer. The University of Minnesota's area health education office, only five of them in the state of Minnesota, one was opened in Wilmer with competition with much larger cities, I might add. I was part of that. The University of Minnesota, St. Cloud State University, and the MinSCU system represented by Ridgewater and the other colleges are collaborating and creating the Mid-Central Biosciences Center. The first time something like this has been done in outstate Minnesota. Now, why is something in a biosciences center important? One of our local companies right now just won the state's Techie Award for vaccines, just came up with an E. coli vaccine. You read about it in the paper. And who's to say that there cannot be a vaccine for the treatment of mental health disorders or the prevention of mental health disorders at some time soon with scientists like we have at these days? We have the potential to put together public-private partnerships. I don't know if I have their permission, so I won't mention their name, but huge, very recognizable names in the state of Minnesota have offered to work with this. So as you see, you could have the states already built and managed mental health facility, 16-bed, that could be used for the acute psychiatric cases. You could have another facility, spoken wheel concept, by which the Veterans Administration, the State Veterans Administration, would determine the configuration. And you could have partially ran and funded by the private sector, should you wish. When we talk about hitting the high points of my past presentations to the state of Minnesota, I would point out that the project, in a proper term now, is shovel ready. There has been a state-authorized and conducted pre-design study done. There's been a site selection process that has went through in the city, and the sites are ranked. You can have all the way from as busy as you want to a 60-acre bucolic site over a lake. And one final thing that seems to have some interest with people from the state of Minnesota, that this being not being a bonding year, but some talk of a bonding bill anyway, there would be no state bonding required to do this facility. The pre-design is done, the bonding is done, the site selection process has went through, though somebody may wish to go through it again, and there's no need to do the bonding. Members of the committee, I would suggest to you there's no reason to hold off and not do this project now. Thank you.
Senator Gimsey, you have somebody else?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we'll have Tricia Appledorn, our Candiac County Veteran Service Officer, speak to the committee.
Okay. Welcome to the committee, and state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tricia Appledorn. I'm the Candiac County Veteran Service Officer. Thank you for listening to me today. I would like to thank everyone for this opportunity to speak on behalf of the veterans I work with in Candiac County. I've been at my position now for going on 4 years, and let me tell you, I have the most gratifying career out there. Candiac County is not only centrally located in the state, but it also is in the city of Willmar and has a lot of services to offer. I could discuss demographics, however, I work with veterans on a daily basis, so that's what I'm here to discuss. Candiac County has 3,300 veterans throughout our large county. Candiac County has a total of 8 service organizations that work routinely with veterans to provide outreach, along with going and visiting the 50 or more that are already located in local nursing homes. I kind of want to just touch on a story that it breaks my heart when I have to think about Roger Villeneuve. He's a Vietnam veteran that came into my office. When he came back from Vietnam, he didn't give the VA a chance. He wasn't treated well at the VA, and he wasn't treated well by local citizens. So in 2006, he decided to bite the bullet and try the VA again. He went to the VA, and during a routine exam, was diagnosed with terminal cancer. Roger enlisted during the Vietnam War, and Roger was diagnosed with a cancer that was due to Agent Orange exposure. He was given not a very long time to live and was contracted out to go into a nursing home locally in Candiac County. However, the time that he got out of the VA and got to the local nursing home, they had lost their contract with the VA. So Roger then had to give all of his disability money, which he wanted to save up for his own funeral and not burden his children, and give it back to the system. This should not happen. It should not happen to Vietnam vets. It should not happen to Iraqi vets. It should not happen to World War II or Korean vets. A veteran is a veteran, and they were told that they'd be taken care of. What happened to Mr. Villeneuve, and he is now deceased, was to me horrific. And services are needed out there. Services are needed for women veterans, whether it be for nursing home care, because believe me, there are World War II women that were nurses, and how cute are they? The services are needed for mental health. They're needed for skilled nursing care. You know, if you could build a veterans nursing home in every community, I think we would all do it. Veterans like to bond together, and they like to live together. And when I visited Fergus Falls, you know, that is somewhere where I would want to live if I needed that care. Wilmer is a great location for this home. We work hard as veterans to work together, and I just want to thank you for this opportunity to speak with you.
Welcome to the committee and state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ron Ann Green. I'm a retired U.S. Army veteran for 38 years service to our country. I'm past commander of the American Legion, life member of the American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, and the Disabled American Veterans. Since July of 2001, I've been the chairman of the Andy County Veterans Service Office Advisory Committee. For the past 21 years, I've been an advocate for veterans' rights and have worked with many veterans to secure their benefits. On an average, we have 50 veterans in Candiai County residing in nursing homes. If we extended that out to the surrounding counties, it would be well over 100 people on a daily basis that are in a veteran in a civilian nursing home. Wilmer is centrally located for the veteran population in Candiai County and the surrounding counties. We don't have a map available for you here, but we're about 120 miles from Laverne, about 120 miles from Fergus Falls, and 100 miles from Minneapolis. That puts us really in the center. Mr. Enquist and Tricia stated we have about 32,500 veterans within 50 miles of Wilmer. Candiai County alone has 3,300 members. As Trish mentioned, we have 8 veterans organizations that are more than willing to volunteer their time to assist in the operation of the nursing home, such as the volunteer program. I feel we are doing a disservice to our aging veteran population by delaying construction of a much-needed veterans home in central Minnesota. Our veterans have earned and deserve the quality care they receive in a VA nursing home. We have veterans from Candiai County and surrounding counties residing in a VA nursing home over 200 miles away, and that shouldn't be. I strongly recommend this committee approve Senate Finance Bill number 211 to move this project forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Finally, we have Jim Dockin to say a few words. He's a veteran himself and Wilmer City Councilman.
Welcome to the committee and state your name for the record.
Chairman Vickerman, my name is Jim Dockin. I want to thank Senator Gimsey for allowing me to again testify before this group. I'm also a 22-year veteran. Wilmer is my home. I started my career in the Minnesota National Guard and spent 2 years and finished up with 20 years in the United States Air Force. Retired as a first sergeant. I want to go on record as saying that I support Commissioner Dyrud and Deputy Commissioner Avecito's plan, strategic plan, in which you folks have so kindly allowed them to spend $200,000, $100,000 to do a study on the Minneapolis home, what to do there, and also $100,000 to decide what to do in outstate Minnesota. I believe personally that Wilmer is a great location outstate Minnesota because Wilmer is, if not the fastest growing, but one of the fastest growing outstate regional centers. In my capacity as a council member, I have for the last 5 years served on the Rice Hospital Board as a liaison from the council. I want to tell you just a few things about Rice Memorial Hospital. It was built in 1937 to honor a trust from Colonel Cushman Rice, a World War II veteran, in memory of his parents, Lieutenant Governor and Mrs. Albert Rice. Ever growing with a continued dedication to service excellence, Rice has expanded from the original 37 beds hospital to 100 beds. Rice is the only acute care hospital in Wilmer and is the largest city-owned hospital in Minnesota. Rice provides top-of-the-line health care through a 12-county region in west central and southwestern Minnesota. Again, it has been stated Rice just completed a $51 million addition that expands the size of the hospital by 50%. The new facility provides patients with larger private rooms as well as a new women's and children's unit, surgery suites, three new surgery suites, same-day surgical facilities, a state-of-the-art emergency room, and Rice worked with designers and planners to build a healthcare facility which not only enhances patient care today but anticipates the needs of care of tomorrow. The new Rice is a state-of-the-art, intelligently designed facility that is convenient and easy to use. Rice is a community leader. It employs almost 900 people and has about 200 physicians in our area. There are about 41 ancillary services, and I want to tell you about one that you folks recently allowed us to build in Wilmer. It's called the Dental Clinic. It was opened in December of 2007. It's a joint effort between the University of Minnesota School of Dentistry and Rice Memorial Hospital. It's owned and operated by Rice Memorial Hospital. It has state-of-the-art equipment, digital imaging, electronic records. It has 9 standard operatories to work on. We have one special needs room with a lift chair and so for veterans who are handicapped that have to come up to that facility in a wheelchair. There's a lift there to get them in, raise them up, set them into the chair to be worked on. In 2008, again, this was just opened in 2007, but in 2008, there were 13,311 procedures that were performed. There were 6,200 patient visits. That's an average of 28 a day. There were 3 emergency patients per day. There are 4 dental students that work there and 2 dental hygienist students working year-round in the clinic. They work under the direction of a full-time adjunct faculty dentist and a dental hygienist. The dental clinic is open to everyone, regardless of insurance status. All age groups are welcome. And this, of course, is a very important part of what Wilmer has to offer. You've heard several times that we have over 400,000 veterans in Minnesota, and I want you to think about this because in Minnesota or in the United States, there are 25.5 million. When you think that we have over 400,000, you think of the large states population-wise, and we have, what, 5 million in Minnesota, that we have more than our share of veterans. And at a recent DAV conference, Colonel Joe Kelly, I think he's the Brigadier General now, said that when the young men and women who serve in Iraq and Afghanistan are there and he visits them, the folks over there say, send us some more of your great Minnesota soldiers. And so you would be well-served by placing, I believe, one of the next veteran nursing facilities in Wilmer. And, again, I do support Commissioner Dyrud's and Deputy Commissioner Avecito's choice to do that. Thank you very kindly.
Senator Erickson-Ropes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Gimsey. I just want to take a moment to thank Tricia Appledorn. She's one of the few women CVSOs, I think, serving in the state, so thank you very much. And I appreciate your comment on the aging women's veterans. We really do need to deal more and more with women's veterans issues, so I appreciate you being out there in the field and then also keeping us mindful of women vets as an aging demographic as well. My question, however, I think is to Mr. Rehnquist. I thought I heard you say a couple times that you did not need a bonding request, or you did, and so I'm confused about that. Or did I misunderstand what you were saying?
Senator, Mr. Chair, and sorry, I can't read your name.
Erickson-Ropes.
The Wilmer proposal would not require state bonding.
Okay. And, Mr. Chair, and Senator Gimsey, your bill, though, was talking about $7.9 million in bond proceeds.
Mr. Chair, Senator Sinropes, the bill that we presented to you was based off of a $24 million facility, and we figured that about the 33% was going to be the $7.9 million at the time that we drafted the bill. Mr. Rehnquist may have some information about some bonding that or that'll come from the local level and some other mechanisms that that the local units of government have been working on, and that may become a key part of our proposal after the study has been completed. And we're just trying to prepare the committee for the possibility that we may not need state money, state bonding money, if we are able to put together those mechanisms and also comply with the requirements of not just the federal VA, but also the state Veterans Department. So that's just kind of to put the bug in your ear. Our current proposal is for a $7.9 million bonding request, but we have some things working.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Dale.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, I'd like to thank the five state senators that presented proposals today and all the veterans that came to support those proposals. I thought we had five excellent proposals, very well done presentations, good information, and it's going to be a, if we're going to only do one, it's going to be a very tough decision, and I hope we can do, I'd like to do all of them, but I'd just like to thank everybody that made the presentations today and that showed up to support those presentations.
Senator Gimsey.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, and thank you to the committee for hearing our proposal. I'd also like to have our veterans from Candiota County and the Willmar area to stand up and be recognized, those that have traveled here to be a part of this. Appreciate them being here very much. Thank you.
Senator Dale, I think you're right. They're all, I'm glad I'm not the one that has to pick the one. We'll send them from here. But before we do that, I said earlier, we got to wait for that report before we know. And you and I both know we won't build all five, so hopefully we can build one. I'd like to build two, but that's not for me to decide. That's for somebody in higher office than I'm in. The only thing is you have to look at how you fund them. You can build them. We can do that. But the funding is what takes. And we have to be sure that we have enough funding to do our job instead of just halfway do it. So, but we can handle that. I never know what the federal government's going to do. Every day they change their minds, so we never know what they're going to do. But I will tell you that this committee is very, very friendly to veterans. And I say that 100% of this committee. And so we had our day today. We agreed to hear them all. And now we'll see what happens as we move down the line. So with that, if there's no more questions, we're adjourned.